The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
But first, Taoiseach, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
You are forever on the move, so where are you today?
Today I am heading to Blessington in County Wicklow with the Minister for Housing for the opening of a new social housing development called The Rectory. And then I have a number of meetings in government buildings as well. So we have a busy day ahead, but that's to be expected.
Now, in terms of opening a social housing unit, the criticism, I suppose, from all sides is that we simply do not have enough housing. We don't have enough social housing. And sometimes when numbers of social housing are quoted, it often involves local authorities buying up housing that would otherwise be available to first-time buyers and others who seek a home.
Yeah, well, look, I think it's correct that social housing comes in many forms, and I don't think we should ever approach this with a rigidity. We absolutely have a housing crisis in terms of supply on our hands. Now, when I first became a TD, there were fewer than 7,000 homes built in the country that year, full stop. This year, we'll head much closer to 40,000 homes. So we do have a very significant pipeline of projects being built now and being delivered. I was only in Shangana Castle there very recently, near Shankill in County Dublin, where our house building agency, the Land Development Agency, will deliver 600 homes, and many hundreds of homes will be moved into before Christmas. So I think housing supply has to come in a diversity. Some people will want to buy their own private home, of course they will, and many people will. Some people will need a bit of assistance from the government through an affordable home or a cost rental home, and some people will need a local authority, a social home, and we need to provide for all groups. But the main thing is, we are now in a position where we can genuinely, credibly ramp up supply, and we have a pipeline that is actually working. Over 38,000 homes started being built in the first 8 months of this year. I mean, that's around 224 homes commenced every working day. Not saying we're there, we're far from it, but we now actually know how to really go up a couple of gears in this and make real progress.
Now, you have constantly said that you won't comment on a date for the general election, but when you look at the tea leaves, which is an earlier budget for whatever reason, a bumper budget as it turned out, a trip to the White House prematurely before St. Patrick's Day, it is not unreasonable that people would think that November is the time.
Well, I think it amuses me a little bit when people think that President Biden's diary is somewhat dictated by political situations in Ireland. Of course it isn't. I'm going to the United States next week to mark 100 years of diplomatic relations between our two countries. And I very much look forward to that and an opportunity to engage with the US president and on our diplomatic links and, of course, on other pressing matters. Look, let's be honest about this. I'm trying to be quite straightforward in relation to this. The Constitution is very clear. I get to seek a dissolution of the Dáil from the President of Ireland. It's my judgment as to when to do that and when to do that in the best interest of our country. I've said in quite a clear manner that I want this government to continue to finish its work. We did announce, as you say, a very significant budget that I think will really help people across the country. Most of that budget is not yet law, that's true. And we have to pass the finance bill, we have to pass the social welfare bill. And I've also consistently said I want to see progress in other pieces of legislation like the mental health bill, like the defamation bill. And then we will of course engage with party leaders. It is my prerogative. It is exclusively my prerogative in the Constitution. I don't think any Taoiseach has ever been asked in the past to kind of provide an hourly update on the matter. But of course, I won't be surprising my coalition colleagues. We work very well together. I think this is a government that works well together. I respect the other leaders in the government. And it's about just finding the right and appropriate time, but the government must finish its work.
Now, your colleague, the Taoiseach Emile Martin, at the Dublin Chamber annual dinner last night said, talk of an early election was idle corridor gossip. He also said there have been no discussions about finishing our mandate early. Now, is that kind of statement credible, that you've never even talked about, even in passing over a cup of coffee, that you just might go in November? Is that credible?
It is true. I mean, I think the Taoiseach and I have said, that we will, of course, engage on this in due course. I don't want the government to come to kind of some sort of cliff edge or standoff. But look, it is ultimately whoever the Taoiseach of the day is, whatever party in whatever government, including many coalition governments, is ultimately the individual who gets to decide when to seek a dissolution. That's how Bunrock's Nair and works. That's the people's rule book.
No, but the idea that you've never even talked about it.
No, we've been working on the budget, and we've a lot of work to do, because I do say this all the time, so I don't want to irk you by saying it again, but I mean there are not people talking about this outside the bubble. Now, don't get yeah. me wrong, my colleagues ask me regularly, the media ask me hourly, but in terms of actually, you know, I was in Drogheda yesterday, no one asked me. I was in Castleknock yesterday, no one asked me. They asked me about things to do with carer supports, pensions, housing, climate, the situation in the Middle East, the issues you'd expect people to be bringing up, business supports, you know, the real issues that are on people's minds. There's going to be a general election in due course. It's not that long away.
Yeah. That's but I mean, even your own diary, it's so busy, you're here, there and yon, people would actually say, well, you're on the election trail at the moment anyway. You're campaigning.
I'm doing two things. Firstly, I'm doing my job as Taoiseach. It's the greatest honour of my life to hold this job. I haven't held it for 6 months yet. And I'm working my socks off, as you'd expect anybody who holds this office to do. And I'm trying to deliver for people. And I think the budget that we delivered this week, I hope, shows that we tried to respond to a number of the issues we heard. But the second thing is, let's not be completely naive here. And, you know, I have a little wry smile when I hear kind of some politicians saying, you know, oh, some people are out canvassing. Like, give me a break. At this stage of the electoral cycle, all politicians out in their constituencies, people in the Dáil, people who want to be in the Dáil, are, of course, beginning to campaign. That's what happens. You're at this a long enough time to know that, Pat. You know, once you're into the final year of a Dáil, of course people are out campaigning, and all political parties are doing this. And this idea that one party is doing it and the rest of them are sitting in the Dáil kind of waiting isn't quite true or
now,
fair.
Now, there are aspects of the budget that are talking points, and we'll talk about those pouches for the phones in a moment. Not, you know, very specifically about the issue, but about some of the messaging that it might offer. But the story in the Irish Times today suggesting that Jack Chambers and Pascal Donoghue were dismayed or concerned about the size of the budget package, but yet it was delivered. So who persuaded them to go against the advice of the Fiscal Council and deliver this huge bonanza for the taxpayer?
That forward today, and I don't have the journalistic integrity at all. I don't mean that, but whoever is putting that forward today is clearly doing so for reasons of kind of, I don't know, political mischief. Everybody knows, and every listener knows, that every minister has a job to do in government. And when you're the Minister for Finance and you're the Minister for Public Expenditure and Reform, of course it is your job to make sure that ministers who have very long wish lists of things, good things that they want to get done, that of course they operate within a certain fiscal context. That's what every Minister for Finance, or at least every good one, and every Minister for Public Expenditure Reform have done, and that's what's got our country into a good economic situation.
Now, the specific quote they have, Taoiseach, is that Pascal Donoghue said some of the measures proposed could be seen as reminiscent of boom-era decisions, and we know how that ended.
Well, I don't ever recall Pascal Donoghue saying that at all. I mean, remember, Pascal Donoghue has delivered with Jack Chambers now a budget that has actually set aside billions of euro into future funds. I mean, we did not do what would have happened in the Celtic Tiger era, where, you know, there was this boom and bust approach to politics and to public spending. What we've actually done is managed to give people some of their own money back to help them in the here and now, between now and Christmas, whether they're pensioners, parents, carers. We've managed to make significant investments in next year in good areas, including school books being free up to the Leaving Cert, hot school meals being rolled out, USC reductions. But crucially, we've also managed to set billions aside into future funds to make sure that my children and their children never live through the austerity that I did growing up too. So it's actually, I believe, on balance, a very responsible budget. We actually kept within the summer economic statement ceilings in relation to 2025. We did do a little bit more in 2024 than we were originally planning on doing, but the surplus, I think, allowed that to happen. And on top of that, you know, when you're in politics, you're not just running an economy, you are also running a society. And when I've travelled the country, I'm very conscious. People say to me, you know, Simon, I know inflation is falling, I get that, but, you know, we're still finding it hard to make ends meet. And I think the child benefit payments are sensible things, the energy credits are sensible things, and the things a lot of Middle Ireland need, I believe, as we go into this winter.
Now, the pouches, which is what a lot of opposition politicians are talking about, you know, the government spending 9 million on a problem that no one actually was asking for to be solved in this particular way, in other words, the provision of pouches. Two interpretations of this. One is you're delighted that this kind of trivia is what everyone's talking about. They really have no substantive criticisms of the budget itself, therefore they're seizing on some detail. But the alternative is that you'll be charged with profligacy with the taxpayers' money, and therefore can you be trusted going forward to spend our money well in the light of bicycle sheds and children's hospitals and all the rest of it?
You can imagine my shock when I received a letter from Mary Lou MacDonald yesterday against the pouches. She didn't want the pouches bought. It was scandalous. She was more outraged than she'd ever been, and she's very outraged very often. You can imagine how shocked I was that only a couple of hours later, we found out that the Sinn Féin-led administration in Northern Ireland has also provided pouches for phones in schools. And they spent €250,000 on providing pouches for 10 schools at a cost of €25,000 per school. Let's put this in perspective here, because we've delivered a budget of over €105 billion. The cost of a pouch is around £20 per kid. It's not true to say nobody wanted them. And in fact, there's many, many, many school principals and others who've been on the airwaves saying, we've been doing this in our school and it works really well. There's no school in Ireland going to be forced or compelled to take a pouch. So let's not worry about that. There is now, for the first time, a dedicated fund available to schools to help the schools with the cost of dealing with mobile phones and phone safety in our schools. If they want to take it up, they can. If they don't want to take it up, they don't have to. This is about £20 per kid. It's a lot cheaper than it is in Northern Ireland. And the faux outrage from Mary Lou MacDonald tells you all you need to know about their sort of politics. I do think it is very important that we provide a degree of discretion and common sense to schools here. If a school has a better idea as to how to spend that money in terms of social media or online media or mobile phones, I think we should be open to that conversation. But this is a real issue. I mean, I live in a town of Greystones, first town in Ireland, that brought in the mobile phone ban for all our primary schools. The pouches, a number of principals have said they tried them in their school and they worked. If schools want them now, we'll provide a bit of money for them. If they don't want them, we won't. But let's put this in a little sense of perspective. And trying to in any way, shape or form equate it to the delivery of major hospitals or anything else, it just doesn't stack up to any reason at all.
No, I mean, you know the controversies about money ill spent on bicycle sheds and security huts and so on. And in a macro way, a huge way, the runaway budget of the children's hospital. So it's a question maybe not only for this government, for previous governments and for the next government, is how do we trust governments to actually pay, spend our money well?
So a couple of things. I think you can trust this government because we're actually living in a country that is economically booming. More people in work than ever before, surpluses in the bank for the future, being able to invest more in housing, an extra $1.2 billion for housing this week. We are the envy of so many European countries. I mean, when I go and meet other European prime ministers and presidents, there's not very many of them in a position to actually deliver these sort of budgets. So that does, I think, speak to economic competence and management. But let me be clear on this. I don't dispute this fact. While every single day most public sector projects come in on time and on budget, I opened the Listowel bypass recently on time and on budget, those 600 houses I mentioned in Shangana on time and on budget. But there have been some projects that have gone awry, there's no doubt about that. And I've been very consistent on this. We have to build up the expertise now in the public service around major infrastructural delivery. And if I'm re-elected Taoiseach, I will be developing a new Department of Infrastructure, because I think in a country this small, I think you do need to kind of try to have a centralised expertise and focus on delivery. Now, so, I do accept there needs to be a focus on that.
Okay. Now, you've had comments in various locations from the former Taoiseach Leo Varadkar about too much migration too fast, was his emphasis there. And he's also been offering you advice on ignoring polls and when choosing the election day. I mean, just fundamentally, is that helpful or is it time for Leo to shut up?
Oh, God, no, I'd never say that. And he's perfectly entitled to have his opinion. He had the honour of leading my party for around 7 years, leading our country. He did it with distinction. I'm very proud of the contribution he's made.
But if he wanted to have an input into what's going on, he should perhaps have stayed in office. Do you know what I mean? In terms of the date of the election and in terms of handling migration. Or is his messaging on migration, is he saying something that you really can't say and therefore it's useful Fine Gael messaging coming from the former Taoiseach?
No, I've been very clear on migration. I mean, I think immigration is a good thing. I think we've benefited from it. Our economy benefits from it. Our society benefits from it. But I do get very frustrated when anytime anybody tries to make a comment on it, there's an effort to shut down the debate. I mean, the reality is migration now is a significant public policy issue in Ireland. And therefore, we should be willing to engage on it. We should be willing to point out that, yes, it's a good thing. But, you know, we do have to make sure that deportations work. We do have to make sure that there's faster processing times. And I think what Leo has said is not too dissimilar from what I would have said, that you know, we went from being a country where around 3,500 people a year were seeking protection to one where over 20,000 are. That has had a very significant effect. And that's why, since I've become Taoiseach, we have taken a number of steps to try and make sure the system is absolutely fair and compassionate, but also, you know, not out of kilter with other European countries. And we've had to make some changes around welfare in the budget this week. We got significant funding for more people to work in the processing of applications, because, you know, if you have a right to stay here, you should get that answer quickly. You should be integrated, entitled to work, and welcome to our country. If you don't have a right to stay here, you should get that answer much more quickly too, and we should ensure you then leave.
Mm. Now, you're heading to the White House, as you mentioned earlier, next week. We need vital clarification when you're on your mission to the White House, and that is the question you must ask Joe Biden, which is, are you Irish or are you not?
There's many very pressing and serious issues that, of course, I want to speak to the President of the United States with, including our diplomatic relations. But
what do you think Boris Johnson is up to? Is he being mischievous?
I think one question I definitely don't need clarity from, and is, does Joe Biden consider himself Irish? I think Boris Johnson is a person who seems to be very good at selling books, and I hope he's certainly much better at that than he was at being a politician.
That's saying it as it is. A final question really about something you did yourself during the week, and that was participate in the new edition of Ryan Tuberty's podcast about books. Mm. Does your participation in that podcast indicate a support for Ryan in the sense that he may have felt hard done by RTE, and you believe that is the case?
No, my participation in that podcast is recognition that I was happy to come on and talk about some books that I'd read and how those books had had an impact in my life. I think there were very many serious issues that went on in RTE, very, very many serious issues. I don't think they are the responsibility of any one individual. I don't believe in cancel culture. I think Ryan Tuberty is a good person. I wish him well. But there were clearly mistakes made in RTE. Of course, there were very, very significant mistakes. And government has made it very clear in terms of the need for a very new trajectory. And I have to acknowledge, whilst the journey is ongoing, I do think the management team in RTE have made significant changes. And as a link to that, we've been in a position to try and support their financial sustainability. But can I also say this, because I'm conscious I'm on News Talk. I also do believe that, you know, public service broadcasting happens in places other than RTE too. And while we have expanded the fund for independent broadcasting in the budget, I do want to see that process continue. You know, the world has changed. RTE does have an important role to play, but lots of people get their news and get access to public service information lots of different places, including your own station, including local radio, local media, and even online media.
The last point really is about Mary O'Rourke, whose passing we lament, because she was in, speaking of books, she was on our Easton Book Club for maybe 5 years or more, reviewing a book every time we ran the club, and she was great.
Yeah, I think Mary O'Rourke was an absolute national tonic. I think she was a decent person, committed to public service. She was great fun to be about, but I don't want to say that to trivialise from her political career, an incredible political career, going on to be deputy leader of her party, hold several ministries. But she, you know, she also was just a very nice, good, decent person, full of integrity. And I must say, I remember as a young politician, after she had left public life, I remember attending a number of events. I particularly remember one in Arklow, and I must say that they're amongst the most pleasant times and things I've ever been at. She was a wonderful person to be around, and I think today of her family, of Fergal, of Angus, of all her family, of all her friends, the Lenehan family. And may she rest in peace. She was a national treasure. She was a very decent woman. And I can understand why many refer to her as Mammy in many ways. That's what she was to so many. May she rest in peace.
Taoiseach Simon Harris, thank you very much for joining us on the programme.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.